From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. Okay, it is no secret that I am a true crime junkie. I love to read about true crime. I love to listen to true crime podcasts. So when my producers found an all-Idaho true crime podcast about Idaho murders, they knew I would not be able to resist finding out more. It's called Ghosts and Garnets, and it's a labor of love for two lifelong friends who are also true crime junkies. So here's a snippet of their podcast on Idaho murderer Harry Orchard.
Tell me what you're telling us about today.
Okay, so guys, the story that we are telling you today is about the crazy life of a man who was a miner, a gambler, a sheep thief, insurance fraudster, bigamist, burglar, failed kidnapper, assassin, and all-around jack of many crimes, Harry Orchard.
A Renaissance man, if you will.
A Renaissance criminal. You know, he does it all. Sometimes not well. But he tried. He put a hell of an effort in.
And joining us now are Camden Shacker and Whitney Rivera, the hosts of the Ghosts and Garnets Murder in Idaho podcast. Welcome to Idaho Matters, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you so much. We're so excited to be here.
Well, I have to tell you, I feel like I know the two of you. I've been kind of binging your podcast. And I, as I said in the intro, I do love some true crime. So it's been great to listen. So my first question is, how did the two of you meet? Because I swear in one of the early podcast episodes, you said that you've known each other since preschool.
Yes. So we have known each other for about 40 years, if I am going to age us. But we met in a Mommy and Me YMCA swimming class and went to preschool together. And we've been best friends ever since.
Wow. That is amazing. So you two grew up in Boise, right?
We did. Yes. We went to school together from the second grade on and all the way through college. We joined the same sorority up in Moscow. So yeah, we've been together for our whole lives, really.
Okay. So Camden, you moved to Grangeville, but Whitney, you're in Boise. So tell us how you came up with the idea for the podcast. But first, let's go with the fact that how did you decide that you can do this long distance with, you know, with one of you being up north and one of you being in Boise?
So the podcast came about because I last summer went down to work part time and my kiddos are getting older. Camden's kiddos are getting older. And I was trying to kind of figure out what I wanted to do with my 40s. And I said to her randomly one day when we were on a group chat with our good friend, Aaron, I said, I want to start a true crime podcast about Idaho. And Camden said, I'm in. And I said, no, I really want to do it. I don't just want to talk about it. I actually want to start one. And she said, I'm in. And not even 2 hours later, she'd come up with the title of the podcast. And that night she had cover art. And 9 days later, our first episode, Murder House, was released.
Holy cow.
Yes. Okay, so we did not mess around with it.
You certainly did not. So, okay, Camden, where did you come up with the Ghosts and Garnets? What is that referring to?
Well, we knew it just wanted to be something kind of spooky and fun and also relate to Idaho. And I just thought, okay, what sounds catchy? And and garnets, you know, Idaho's known for mining garnets and people finding them. So I just kind of mashed the two together and Whitney was for it. So here we are.
Well, I mean, Idaho is the gem state. So
yes,
it plays back into that. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about this. Why murders? Because, so first off, have both of you always been true crime kind of junkies? I mean, what was it that got you into true crime? Because I always think there's kind of a moment in people's lives where they all of a sudden kind of become obsessed with true crime. And then people think you're weird.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I think we've both just always, we've always been into it. And, you know, for me, this, you know, this is Camden speaking, and my mom was into it as well. So it was always kind of on in the background. And I think I watched Jaws when I was like five, and then my love of horror and all things horror, just kind of stuck with me. And here I am today. But, I also just think they're such important stories to tell. Even though they're terrible and traumatic, and sometimes we have to laugh our way through them, they're important to tell.
And Whitney, what about you?
Yeah, you know, I don't remember the exact moment, but 2020 was my favorite when I was a kid until Dateline came along. And I remember being very young and watching Murder Stories, which, I'm sorry, Mom, you probably didn't know that. But it really was just, it's always been something that we were super interested in. I am not a horror, spooky kind of gal. That is not my favorite, but Cam loves it. So if we can ever find, you know, a ghost story or, you know, a ghost experience, a spooky experience, we try to jump on that. But for me, I think it was just, it's always just been something that we really love. And I think it takes a very particular kind of person to be into true crime and love it and, you know, find entertainment in it and be able to kind of compartmentalize and laugh through the really hard stuff. And we both just happen to be those types of weirdos.
Well, I'm right there with you because so I grew up in Washington State, and I remember, I mean, I'm talking like I was little, like when the Green River killings were going on and becoming very obsessed with it, but in a way that I was very, like, I remember being really afraid, right? Because like we lived by a river, you know, it was all of these things, and it was kind of up the road from where I grew up. And I always thought, you know, so I know that was the kickoff point, but from there, I think it was kind of this obsession because then like I had a teacher in high school who grew up two doors down from Ted Bundy. Right.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So it was these things that I think too, growing up, it's like you want to know more. So you feel like you have more control in your own life, or maybe you would know what to do. And that's so not true, but I think there's, I think there's something about that, right? When you kind of become obsessed with true crime, it's almost like, well, if I learn enough, maybe if I'm in this situation, I can like learn something from what a victim did, right? Or
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So, and I know you two talk a lot in your podcast about like, look, we tell these stories not because we think they're just, you know, oh, let's, you know, like they're entertainment. It's more like, what can we learn from them?
Yes.
And was that a part of it when you wanted to do this? Was, you know, what can we actually learn about this?
You know, I could tell you that we really thought things through, but that would be a lie. It really came about pretty organically as the episode started to come out. And and I think we both realized that this was going to be something. And once that happened, I think it just sort of, we started to care so much more about the reasoning behind, you know, how laws are made and how, you know, the criminal justice system works. And so I think for us, it was really just, it just sort of happened as we went along.
Well, and it's interesting too. So your very first one, which you mentioned, is the murder house, and that's on Linden Street in Boise. And and so Whitney, I think you and I live by each other because I go by that house almost every single day.
Yeah.
And but it was one of those things. So I mean, I moved here in 1999, and it was like it was kind of like an urban legend, and I didn't really know if it was really true or not until I met my husband, who was in high school when that happened, and. But I had him listen to that episode the other night because both of us have always been like, well, we know about this. We know about that with it. And it's just one of those things where you took kind of an urban legend and you actually gave us the details from it. But why did you start with that one?
Why did we start with that one? Such a great question.
You know, if my memory serves me correctly, which who knows, but I think we did that one because I assumed that it would be an easy script to write, which was a terrible assumption to make because it was the early 1980s and coverage was horrible. But, and it also, because there's this haunted aspect to it.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, we'll do the true crime part and then we can kind of go into these legends about the house being haunted. And, you know, we both knew the basics, I think, like most people who grow up in Boise and hear the urban legend, but I had no idea about the particulars until I started digging into it.
Yeah. Right. Well, and I have to say, I want to play a clip from the episode you did on Harry Orchard. Because you do have moments too that are super funny because you just you talk about yourselves as well. Okay, so let's take a listen to this clip.
Okay. When he was 22, Harry decided to leave home and took a job as a logger in Saginaw, Michigan. He eventually returned to Canada and married sometime around 1889. He and his wife spent time as cheesemakers, both making their own cheese and helping others to make cheese. I don't know what kind of cheese.
They had to be very popular. Cheese is delicious.
I know. I don't know why you would ever do anything else. If you know how to make cheese, you just stick with the cheese making.
For sure.
Well, Harry had other plans. So they eventually had a daughter and his wife stopped working with him in the cheese factory. Harry was not great with money. And he was also a gambler and said that he, quote, lived way beyond my means and was in some debt and my credit was not so good, end quote. Deciding that the life of a family man was just not for him, he decided to burn the cheese factory to the ground in order to collect insurance money before settling his debts and running away with a totally different woman, abandoning his family. He and his new girlfriend headed west to Pilot Bay, British Columbia. This relationship only lasted about 3 months before they broke up and went their separate ways. Harry then headed to Spokane, Washington. In April of 1897, Harry was driving a milk wagon to the mining communities around Wallace, Idaho. He kept this job for a while, saving money, and eventually he was able to invest $500 for a 16th share of the Hercules Silver Mine near Burke. Harry then quit his milk route and moved to Burke, borrowing money to buy a wood and coal business there. He wasn't a mine owner very long, though, as in the spring of 1898, Harry had to sell his share of the mine in order to pay debts that he had accumulated by gambling because he was shitty at it. Not only did he have to sell his share of the mine, he had to take a job as a mucker, which is a shoveler, in the Tiger Poor Man Mine. This job introduced Harry to the Western Federation of Miners, a union that would change the course of his life.
I tell you what never would have failed him.
Cheese making. And, you know, he had a factory. He had a cheese-making factory. He, like, owned it.
Yeah, like, nobody does that in a day. Like, that's an asset, man.
Yeah, and you're just going to burn it to the ground? Think of the cheese.
Think of the cheese. The lady he ran away with, the lady he met. Yeah. She only loved him for his cheese. That's why it only lasted 3 months.
It's true. Once they got away from the cheese, she was like, who the f*** is this guy?
What do you have to offer me now? Nothing. Nada. Nacho. Nacho cheese. Okay, you got me on a weird day.
I love cheese.
What's your favorite kind of cheese? If you could only have one cheese for the rest of your whole entire life, what would it be?
Oh my god, that's so hard.
Think about it. Let's circle back.
Okay, circle back at the end. All right.
And one of you said goat cheese, and I have to tell you, I couldn't agree more. It's so versatile.
That was good. Camden loves the goat cheese.
That was amazing. Okay, so before we take a break, the reason why we chose that clip is because, first off, you guys do your research. I mean, I've heard about Harry Orchard. I mean, you know, he killed Governor Studemeyer. That's where that statue is that, you know, is in front of the state Capitol building. Right. My husband knows a lot about that case. And I learn new things about it. I mean, you guys really do your research, but at the same time, you are so funny. You're so funny. And I love that like it just kind of, you know, comes and goes. Right. So, so, you know, I am assuming though, a lot of that is just organic and it is just the two of you because you've had this lifelong friendship.
Yes. We never talk about what we're going to say beforehand. The story itself is scripted. And then we give each other little moments of chat and all of the funny stuff, all of the good stuff is just happens in the moment.
Yeah. We're just naturally ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're totally, naturally totally just, ridiculous. You know, right. You're naturally funnier than you knew. Right. So I have to say it's been interesting for me to come to be listening to these podcasts because I realize how many of these that I have covered as a news reporter over the years. And it just kind of takes you back. And I, you know, with both of you having grown up in Idaho, I mean, were you paying attention to a lot of these, you know, at the time, or is it now as you're older, you're like, holy cow, there is some weird stuff that has happened in this state.
Yeah. I think we were both pretty shocked about how much information and how many stories are out there and the wild things that happen in Idaho. We were aware, I think, of some of the things that were going on, but I definitely, you know, we were pretty young. We were high school and college. So we were very maybe self-involved a little. So when we knew these things were going on, we didn't really know what was going on. And so it's been really eye-opening, I think, for the both of us when we go in to start researching a story to find out what really happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, one that you just did on, he was the one who killed poor Samantha Marr. And that happened in the summer of 2000. And I believe it was either right before that or right after that. It was when Lynn Henneman was killed. And I literally had been here for about a year. I was in the news industry and we're covering like murder after murder on the Boise Greenbelt. And I remember moving to Boise and everybody was like, it's fine. You can go in the Greenbelt. I'm like, I'm not going on that thing. And I mean, here's why, because it wasn't patrolled at the time back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was after these horrible, heinous murders happened that the Greenbelt was finally patrolled and it felt like a safer space. And it's so interesting to me to fast forward 20 years to see, you know, how that has transformed. But I feel like it took these horrible things to happen in order for that space to be safe. And I bet you if people are listening and you've only been here for 5 or 10 years, you'd never think that you shouldn't be on the Greenbelt. But did you two ever feel like that growing up when these particular murders were happening because they were awful? And they happen so close together.
You know what? That's again where I say I feel like we were so self-involved. My dad had an office right on the Greenbelt. We floated the river as teens all the time. I don't think I ever realized how much danger there was there when we were growing up. I just didn't, you know, I just think that maybe we were just teenagers and thought, nothing's ever going to happen to me. We're invincible. So, but yeah, I mean, we were there all the time.
All the time.
And we should say the Greenbelt's safe now, folks. I'm just saying, I'm taking you back 20 years.
Just be on alert, people, all the time.
That is true. Be on alert. Don't put your AirPods in where you can't hear anything. Be on alert.
Yeah, Whitney.
Yeah, I get in a lot of trouble.
So the podcast is not even a year old, correct? How long has it been going?
Our first episode came out end of October, and I think we're about to hit 35,000 listens, which is,
oh my gosh,
unreal. We've just been blown away by the response, and our listeners are the greatest.
So do you have listeners then from, you know, I'm assuming not just in Idaho. I mean, what has the response been like? Because you're right. That's impressive for the short amount of time you've been on.
You know, it's It's wild. We have returning listeners every week from 34 different countries.
Wow.
I know. I know. We had no idea that people in Finland were going to be into what we had to say, but they seem to enjoy it. So
one last question before I let you go. What's next? I mean, what's up in the future on the list for the podcast?
Oh gosh, I think we're just going to keep cranking them out. The dream is to make this a full-time gig. And, you know, we both, I think, are having so much fun and we love it so much. And, you know, as long as it's fun and as long as people keep listening and keep wanting us to tell them stories, then we will continue to do it.
And I think we also have just started introducing our road trip series. So our last episode of every month, we are just going through all of the states in the United States alphabetically and telling a true crime story from those states and taking suggestions from our listeners. But we're hoping, as much as we love, love, love Idaho, and we will always be doing Idaho, we're just trying to bring a little bit in for our listeners who are in other places.
Okay, well, that makes sense because I've seen those. I haven't listened to them yet. And I was like, did they go to Alabama? Like.
We went mentally to Alabama and I'm still recovering, frankly.
Okay. All right. I mean, if you did, great. I was just curious. It has been such a pleasure to talk with both of you. Best of luck on the podcast. And truly, I hope to have you on again.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.